This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick. We'll have updates from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman, as well as Randy Coonan, who is in Fargo today for the International Sugar Beet Institute. Well, as we look at that weather radar, we are looking at snow really extending from northeast Nebraska through that southeastern corner of South Dakota and into Minnesota as well. We are seeing snow in Watertown, South Dakota, Fergus Falls, up to Bemidji. And you get to the further east, we're looking at rain that we're dealing with here in mid-March. While the snow accumulation has moved further to the east, this recent weather system is having a lasting impact across much of the nation's midsection. National Weather Service meteorologist Alexandra Kent, based at Grand Forks, says the areas to the east have been seeing some significant snowfall.
It looks like a lot of locations to our south have received snow from it. We've received a little bit of snow kind of more in our eastern areas, but it does look like it is moving on toward the Great Lakes and just going to kind of sit there. And I think I saw somewhere earlier today that Duluth had like a foot of snow in some areas from this. It's a pretty potent system.
We will continue to see high winds and travel impacts through the end of the week. These high winds will be continuing.
Unfortunately, it looks like we are going to be seeing some higher winds through the day on Saturday. So we're just going to have a really strong pressure gradient and some cold air advection that is really going to bring down those cold northerly winds. Expect gusts up to about 40 miles per hour in some locations in our northern area closer to the international border, but closer to the South Dakota area, we could see wind gusts up to 45 miles per hour. So after we get through Saturday, that system will really move off away from our area to have any influence, and then we will start to see the winds calm back down.
The grain markets are feeling spillover pressure from the financial markets. The Money Farm market analyst Allison Thompson says the European Central Bank made a decision on interest rates, which is influencing the U.S. markets.
Europe did increase their interest rates again by 50 basis points, which obviously here at home we were looking at maybe a quarter or even nothing at this point. But if they're continuing to fight inflation battles by doing it overseas, you have to think that the Feds might be continuing that stance as well. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens next week. And, of course, ahead of that, it just adds volatility to the marketplace.
The Federal Reserve Board will meet next week, and the recent bank failures are expected to impact the decision on interest rates.
Saturday is the deadline for the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Russia wants a 60-day extension, while Ukraine is holding firm on a 120-day deal. Rather than focusing on this grain export agreement, Paradigm Futures market analyst Kent Beadle is focused on the crop prospects from that part of the world.
You know, we saw essentially about a third decline in the production of the summer crops last summer after the onset of the beginning of the war. And I think it's going to be more difficult to produce in that country, not less, this upcoming year. And so, you know, we're talking about a fairly substantial amount of supply that, you know, that came off the world market and is going to be coming off the world market again this upcoming year.
The Surface Transportation Board approval of the Canadian Pacific Railway and Kansas City Southern Railway merger takes effect April 14th. As part of the STB decision, the new entity must keep access to other Class 1 railroads available and submit information to the government to address potential service issues. This will be the first rail service extending from Canada all the way to Mexico. It will impact the flow of grain to the Gulf Coast and Mexico.
HB 1515 was heard this morning in the North Dakota Senate Agriculture Committee. Representative Dawson Hawley testified at the hearing and says the opportunity to sell raw milk could make or break a dairy operation.
We've heard the numbers. 37 dairy farms is all that's left in North Dakota. The year I was born, according to the USDA, there was approximately 400 licensed dairy herds across the state. And the high financial costs, very hard manual labor, and lots of hours, severe weather that all farmers had to endure over the years, market trends, and many, many other factors have led to the dairy farmer numbers continuing to decline. How great would it be to pass this bill and farms that have been struggling to either make their farm profitable, or maybe they don't have a processor, or maybe they don't want to expand their farm, and all they want to do is milk their cows and sell their products.
Hawley says this bill opens up benefits not just for marketing raw milk, but for consumers to drink raw milk.
I actually have learned that some people that are lactose intolerant, they can actually drink raw milk. And that was really shocking to me. And there's a lot of concerns because when you go through pasteurization and homogenization, you're taking a lot of the proteins out of the milk to make it so that it is shelf ready for weeks or days. So raw milk is just a natural form that you're getting from the cow.
Proposed legislation to create a tax exemption on ag use for commercial property was heard in North Dakota's House Agriculture Committee today. Oaks, North Dakota farmer Brian Schulich spoke in favor of the bill, saying he hesitates to build a new potato warehouse facility within city limits without clear tax code to protect against having to pay commercial taxes.
It's difficult for me to want to put them inside city limits and taxed at a higher rate. However, it would make much more sense to keep it close to my original structures. For my farm personally, this is not only a potato warehouse problem. In the last 10 years, I built a new corn storage facility, and I could have put it in this area. I could have gotten rail access here. Instead, I went 10 miles down the road and built on perfectly fine agricultural land, which took 7 to 10 acres out of production for as long as I can foresee, which from that aspect seems wrong.
The hearing on Senate Bill 2279 was closed to be acted on later.
HB 1239 was introduced in the North Dakota Senate this morning. That bill relates to penalties for smaller subsurface water management systems. North Dakota Water Users Association Executive Director Danny Quizzle says HB 1347 that passed includes a sunset clause for notification.
The water resource districts would ask that you reinstate this notification requirement from a planning and water management perspective. The information provided through notification is very important to water boards, despite the small size of the projects. The water boards use this information for planning purposes. Knowing where water is coming from and which direction it's flowing is extremely beneficial when water boards are developing and building shared infrastructure like drains.
Ellingson Company's Director of Governmental Affairs, Levi Otis, testified saying clear communication on tiling and drainage permitting has improved greatly.
The amount of phone calls I've had of discussing whether somebody is permitted or not in the last 2 years has gone from 100 to zero. Getting together with the water boards, I was basically indifferent last session when this was part of the conversation, and the water boards at that time just said, we get phone calls from nosy neighbors or environmentalists. And so I just want to reiterate, the problems because of more communication have gone away. At least we did over 350 projects last year in the state of North Dakota. I didn't have one phone call from a water board person saying, you're doing it wrong. Not one.
The International Sugar Beet Institute is in its final hours for 2023. Red River Farm Network is in Fargo.
Yeah. Our report from the International Sugar Beet Institute brought to you by Amity Technology. Visiting with Amity Technology sales manager Mike Lundberg. Mike, you've got the full array of what's available from Amity here at the Sugar Beet Institute.
Yes, we do. After several hours of cleaning, it all looks pretty good once we get it inside.
As far as, I guess, something we talked about earlier was how things have changed, but a show like this, it used to be you could take orders for fall. That's not the case anymore.
No, it certainly isn't. The whole world has changed in that respect. We're planting seed for harvesting 2024 right now.
Yep. And it just takes that long. You've got, what I've noticed is you've kind of grown from just sugar beet equipment. You have other things available now too.
Yeah, so that's one of the biggest things we're looking at is level loading the factory. And that's been an interesting ride from my time at Amity Technology, how we keep the factory busy all the time, right? We have meetings on a regular basis on what is the state of the market, where are things going, right? We sold out the last 2 years by the middle of November. But we remember a year that we sold 12 harvesters all year long. So how do we manage that so that we can stay through the lean times and so that we can survive and reap the benefits of the good times?
Speaking of that, how has technology impacted that? Are you seeing a lot of changes?
So we believe that's where the world is going, right? Making things easier to do, easier to monitor. Once you make them adjustable, you find out that it's valuable adjusting it. Now you need to be measuring it constantly and adjusting it constantly. And that's where we're finding the added value that the grower is looking for.
Sure. Thus, the new hot thing is the new defoliator.
Correct. What we've done is made a defoliator capable of matching the harvester speeds, and along with that, setting it at the right height, right? It does a too high and it does a poor job, too low it does a poor job. I keep going back to the three bears story, right? Too high, too low, just right.
Mike Lumberg, Amity Technology Sales Manager. We're here at the International Sugar Beet Institute. Our report brought to you by Amity Technology for the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan.
The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency will expedite protections on some high-risk uses of four organophosphate pesticides. This is ahead of the 15-year reevaluation that would have taken place in 2025 to 2026. The agency identified potential risks to workers who handle the pesticide and is currently meeting with technical registrants about early risk mitigation. This could include cancellation of uses in formulation types, prohibition of application methods, increased personal protective equipment for handlers, spray drift requirements, and new restrictions for re-entering the field after application. The EPA is asking for label amendments that reflect necessary risk mitigation measures.
New weed control technology is on the way from Corteva AgriScience. Corteva U.S. Products Manager Aaron Smith says pending approval, the product will have a wide range of use.
Inverse is our new proprietary formulation of encapsulated acetichlor. It's designed to drive to the soil to create a long-lasting residual barrier of 20 of the toughest broadleaf and grass weeds that farmers face today, including water hemp and Palmer amaranth. And it's designed to give powerful weed control and be very safe on crops. And so what it does is when we spray that onto the leaf surface, it bounces off, it drives to the soil to create that residual barrier, but doesn't affect the tank mix partner that it has with it. So when this product is approved, it will be the residual tank mix partner of choice for Enlist One as well.
Consumers will be able to see the product in action this growing season in field trials.
Checking those markets, we're down 3.25 for Minneapolis wheat, May at 8.49 1/4. Chicago wheat down 4. KC wheat, May, down 3.25. The corn market, 6.25 higher for May, 6.32 3/4. New crop, 1.25 higher. Soybeans, the May contract turning higher. Corn's bringing along, 2.25 higher, 14.91 1/2 the quote. November down by 0.75 cents. In Winnipeg, canola futures, May, 7.48.90 down to 10 Canadian. Live cattle, April, 65 higher, 162.20. April feeder cattle, $1.80 higher, 195.05. The Dow right now, up 326 points. This is the Red River Farm Network.